Game On 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the straight talking savings bank.
A little bit earlier, I caught up with Andy Lee, who you can imagine is chock-a-block with phone calls and people wanted to talk to him at the moment. But my first words were to him earlier this afternoon were, Andy Lee, WBO world champion. How does that sound?
Yeah, you can keep saying it because it sounds good. It sounds better every time I hear it. And I don't know if I'm fully used to it yet, but it's something I've wanted for so long, and it's great to finally achieve it, you know.
Yeah, I imagine that. And, you know, because it's been quite a while coming, that it must feel all the sweeter and you must be able to just appreciate it all the more.
Yeah, you know, had it came to me early in my career, or had I, you know, been an easier journey, maybe I wouldn't appreciate it. But I really do, and I've always wanted to be world champion, and I've always thought I would be. But, you know, when things go on for so long, and, you know, I've been professional since 2006, and there were days when I thought that it might not happen. There were days when I thought, like, I might not achieve it. And if I hadn't, I would have been left, you know, would have been a bitter end. But thankfully, I did it. I won Saturday night, and it's brilliant.
That's a testament to your strength of character, though. I mean, looking, just reading through some stuff today, I know you were 21 when you went over, and, you know, if you had thought when you were 21 going to the Crown under Emmanuel Stewart that it would take 9 years to achieve that dream, I wonder how you would have felt about it going over there.
Yeah, we've been saying here that the journey is the destination. You know, we've been saying that for, especially, you know, going over to Las Vegas to win a world title. It's like I said, it's been made it more sweeter. And for all the hard days, it makes me appreciate this very good day, you know, and it stands you and it builds character. And if I wouldn't have had those hard days, I wouldn't be the man I am now, and I probably wouldn't be the fighter I am now. And without those hard days, maybe I wouldn't have what it took to win on Saturday night. So everything happens for a reason, and it all showed in the performance, you know.
Did those hard days, the last few years, particularly where you've had to just come through quite a lot? Do you think that they contributed to everything that happened to you on Saturday night? And even I was reading, you know, pre-fight what you were saying, the confidence that you had, this almost ferocious determination that you weren't going to lose this chance.
Yeah, I've been there once before, fought for World Title in 2012, and it didn't end well for me. And so I was even more determined not to let this chance slip, because I knew it was probably my last chance at a world title. So I was even more determined to win. And, you know, there's... boxing, being a professional boxer, is full of disappointment. It is. There's times when fights get cancelled or opportunities you think you should have, but, you know, you go into the gym every day, you keep working, even when you don't, when there's nothing to work for, and you keep working towards your goal, and eventually good things will happen. And I got this opportunity to fight for the championship, and, you know, I made the most of it. So, like, it's a lesson for me as a boxer or an athlete, but it's a lesson for anybody in life, that keep persevering, keep working, and it'll happen for you, you know?
Yeah, and I suppose, look, even no matter what sport, even I was thinking about it yesterday, no matter what sport, nothing comes easy. I mean, nothing that really matters comes easy, you know, most of the time, bar one or two exceptions. And it certainly, you know, even reading what you've been saying, it hasn't come easy for you, but also there must have been times when you thought, is this all worth it?
Yeah, but, like, I don't want to dwell on it, like, on the negative side. It is true. It's been a hard journey, but it's also been a good journey. I've learned a lot, and I've enjoyed myself on the way, and I've met some great people, and I've had great experience, not just as a boxer, but as a person, as a young man traveling the world and living an extraordinary life, like, as a professional boxer. It's not something that everyone can do or gets a chance to do. So it's been a great journey, and, you know, to top it off being world champion, it's a great feeling, and I want to go on and defend my belt and be a recognised champion for a number of years.
Yeah, sorry, and I don't mean to be focusing on that side of things, I suppose. It's just that everyone was so delighted for you, I suppose.
It's just good because people arrive at, like, people get to these, sorry about the background noise.
You're all right, no worries.
At home, and the people, everyone's calling.
I can imagine.
But, you know, people get to these positions and it seems like they just arrive all of a sudden. But what you don't hear is it's hard work every day, and it's not glamorous, and it's not, you know, you see these success stories and you think people just walk into these positions, but it's not. So you're right to bring it up and let people know that it's all hard work, and it's every day, and it's the cold that morning, you're getting up running, and there's no one there to see you. There's no, you know what I mean? There's no TV cameras, but that's how it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, tell me about this guy, right? So 300 amateur wins, just 12 defeats, 14 knockouts from his 24 wins as a professional, and you go and you stop him in the sixth round. That must be an incredible feeling.
Yeah. Matt Karpov is a legend as an amateur boxer. He's a legend. You can ask Billy Walsh, you can ask any Kennedy Egan, you can ask any of those guys, because they were all around when he was there, and he was beating everybody. You know, he was a man as an amateur boxer. He turned professional with great fanfare, and won all his bouts, and like you say, knocked out 14 of them. And he was the favorite going into the fight. I was the underdog. But I looked at him and I watched him. His fights, and my coach Adam Booth put together a plan, and I followed it, and it all came together, you know. So, it was a great victory.
What was Adam saying to you then after the first few rounds? I know the judges' cards had you behind, but what was he saying? Was he just saying, "Look, keep focused on what we've been doing"?
Yeah, Adam, I recognised, and I too. We watched Karpov in the build up to the fight that he starts very fast, or he's in the first half of the fight is his best moments, and maybe that's because he was an amateur for so long that he was used to the shorter distance. The longer the fight goes, he starts to slow down and becomes more predictable, and so even though he was ahead in the scorecards, it was still the early rounds and I was going into the fight, and I feel like the judges and the commentary was a little bit, well, I'm not, it was unfair, it was biased in his favour, but maybe that's natural because he was the hometown fighter. It was his promoter who was promoting the show, and I was the B side of the fight, kind of thing, you know. I was the guy they were bringing in to fight on their show, so everything was skewed. But I knew, like, he could feel it too, and I could feel it, and I could see it in his eyes and in his demeanour when we were fighting. Even though he was ahead in the scorecards, I was growing in the fight, and he got that sense too.
And even your last fight as well, the way you threw that punch the last time out, it stopped Jackson as well, and then to go and to do it again, you know, and just the manner in which you did it, you caught him, just such a beautiful shot.
It's crazy. It's mad to think, you know, that to do it, it's so rare to come back from a losing position and then to do it twice in a row in such high-profile fights. It's mad. Like, I'm pinching myself half the time thinking about it, but like I said before, I can't keep going back to it, but it's a lot of hard work, and it's good work by my coach Adam Booth. He drills me, and I can see subtle changes in every fight that I have, that things are improving, and I'm changing as a fighter, and I'm excited for the next two or three months where I've reached this level, and the level I'm going to be at once, things he's teaching me become ingrained, and then we keep building on them. There's a lot more to come.
What did he say to you, you know, when you met up? First of all, he said, look, I think you can improve X, Y and Z. What did he say to you?
Well, it was very tentative. Both of us were feeling each other out when we first met. For him, it was unusual because I'd already fought for a world title and I was already an established boxer. So he didn't really know what he could do with me or how he could change me. But one thing he identified was that to be more relaxed in my shoulders, not to be so upright and at one level all the time with my head and my height. And also he also developed my short range boxing, that now I'm comfortable fighting up close, and I know how to react when fighters get inside my reach. And like previously to that, I would have, you know, I didn't have those skills. And Adam Booth is the best trainer. I can't say enough about the man. I've trained with great trainers in my life: Emmanuel Stewart, Zora Antia, Billy Walsh, and my coach in St. Francis Boxing Club and Rafton. I've trained with some of the great coaches all over America. And Adam Booth, I can't say enough about the man. He's a brilliant coach.
And there was a certain recently departed sitting on your shoulder, I imagine, during that sixth round particularly. You would have been pretty happy to see that.
Yeah, he loved Emmanuel Stewart, loved knockouts, and he would have been delighted with that. And it was a great touch. His wife, his widow, Marie Stewart, travelled to the fight and came to my fight. I got a message on the Friday morning saying, text message saying, "Andy, I'm coming to your fight and I'll be there ringside and I'm praying for you." So that was a great touch for her to come there, and it made me more determined to win the fight.
Incredible. Before we let you go, Andy, obviously, you know, I heard you speak after the fight. Anyone who wants to come and try and take that belt has got to come to Ireland. Did they have to come to Limerick and maybe Thomond Park?
Yeah, you know, that's what I said. To win the 12 titles was always been my dream. Stepping off the plane in Shannon, which I think I'm going to come home. I'm in London at the moment. I'm flying back Wednesday. I think they're going to do a civic reception in Limerick on Wednesday. So
yeah.
I can't wait for that. That's been my second dream. And now my third dream would be to defend my world title in Ireland. Hopefully Limerick, if not Dublin, but anywhere in Ireland, and get one of the best fighters in the world to come to Ireland and we'll put on a great show. That would be a dream come true.
I was there for the last one, Cordoba against Bernard Dunn, and you know, Billy Joe Saunders is already having his two cents worth, as I thought he might. You know, he's the mandatory challenger. He says he'll fight you anywhere. So that could be next in the cards?
It very well might be, yeah. Whoever it is, I don't mind. Let him come and let him try and win. And if you know what I mean, after my last two fights, whoever's coming to fight me is going to have second thought. You know, I have two thoughts about it because they don't want to get hit with that right hand. But yeah, whoever, like, I'm going to enjoy my Christmas now. Go home, see my family. I can't wait. And in the new year, sit down and see who wants to fight.
Well, the popularity of you absolutely all over the place on Sunday, and particularly on Monday when people found out that maybe hadn't been able to see it live, just as a testament to you, I think, Andy, the person that you are, the fighter that you are, and we cannot wait to see you defend your title in Ireland. Andy,
well, the support I've got, thank you very much to you, and the support I've got has been unreal. I just want to say thank you to everybody who supported me just for this fight and for all over the years. It's been unreal and I'm overwhelmed by it, and hopefully many more to come.
Enjoy Christmas. WBO World Champion Andy Lee, thanks a million.
Thank you very much.
Game on 2FM.
In association with Rabo Direct, the straight-talking savings bank.